We're going to call this meeting of the Legislative Council to order. Today is Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. It is 1:01 p.m. Please remember to silence your cell phones, and I'm going to ask Recording Secretary Madison Truitt to call the roll to establish a quorum.
Here.
Representative Stevens.
Here.
Senator Kisa.
Here.
Senator McDowell.
Honored to.
Senator Hawkins.
Here.
Senator Keel.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Speaker. Vice Chair Stevens.
We're going to take a brief at ease. I think the online people can't respond. You see their names?
I didn't recognize you.
I know.
Hi.
Wow. I'm in my disguise.
We're going to test the mics one more time. Senator Stevens, can you hear us?
Says he can't hear the roll call.
Representative Edgman, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
Okay, one resolved. So now let's see if we can get Senator Stevens into listening lane. I'm going to take another brief at ease. I just did.
Welcome to the Synexis Conference Manager. Please enter your conference ID. If you are the conference host, press 1. Please enter your PIN followed by the pound key. Welcome to the Synexis Conference Manager. Please. I'm sorry, the conference ID you have entered is currently unavailable. Please contact the host or system administrator. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound key, or press *00 to speak with an operator. Welcome to the Synexis Conference Manager. Please enter your conference ID followed by. If you are the conference host, press 1. Please enter your PIN followed by the pound key. This conference is in lecture mode. This conference may be recorded. Joining conference.
And they're acting.
Yeah.
So, walked in on the second. Back door to Louise. Let's see. Right. As I sent up.
All right. Calling the meeting of the Legislative Council back to order. Ms. Truitt, you please call the roll to establish a quorum.
Representative Carrot.
Here.
Speaker Edgman.
Here.
Representative Kopp. Representative Prox. Representative Schrage.
Here.
Representative Stutes. Here. Senator Klayman. Senator Giesel.
Here.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Honored to.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Keel.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Vice Chair Stevens.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
10 members present.
With 10 members present, we have a quorum to conduct business. Senator Stevens, do you have a motion for us on the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Hearing and seeing no objections or changes, the agenda is approved as printed. That brings us to our first item, which is approval of minutes for the May 7, 2025 meeting. Senator Stevens, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that Legislative Council approve the minutes dated May 7, 2025 as presented.
Hearing and seeing no objection or amendments, the minutes are approved, the May 7th, 2025 meeting. That brings us to our first business action item, the Fairbanks LIO lease extension renewal number 5. Senator Stevens, do you have a motion?
Now, Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 5 of the lease for Fairbanks office space in an amount of $219,450.48.
And I'm going to object to the motion for purposes of discussion and ask Legislative Affairs Procurement Officer J.C. Kestel to the table to provide information on the item and take questions. Mr. Kestel.
Thank you, Chair Hannon and members of the committee. Today, in your packets, there's a memo covering the Fairbanks renewal number 5, describes some of the details, as well as the cost. This is the last renewal period remaining in this lease before either a lease extension or an RFP have to be completed. If approved by Legislative Council, this would begin that process. Lease would begin August 1st and take us through next July 1st. It is a lease that is over $50,000 annually, so therefore Legislative Council's approval is required.
Are there questions regarding the lease renewal in Fairbanks? Representative Stutz, go ahead.
Chair, what's the square footage?
Fairbanks has a total square footage of 9,049 feet.
And how many, if I might, Chair, thank you, how many legislators use that office?
Representative Stutz, there are nine legislators at that facility. Sorry.
Eight legislators.
Legislators.
And six additional offices have staff there besides those eight. So.
Chair Hammond, you.
Yes. Is this rep?
Thank you. Sorry. Hard to jump in the queue here on the phone, but.
So let me just finish my point on. Because Representative Stutz was giving me a quizzical look. So we have legislators who have staff at the Fairbanks LIO, but their boss is not a Fairbanks legislator. So you could have had a staff who you needed an office space for in the Fairbanks LIO, but your staff was out of the Fairbanks LIO, but that is not your district. So we currently have eight legislators, and then six additional offices that have space there.
So if, Madam Chair, if I might, if I were thinking about having an office in SIGTA, it wouldn't be a problem?
What is my understanding in the past practices, Ben, is that when a legislator has a staff in a location that we have an LIO, we try to accommodate. So, for instance, Senator Stevens has a staff person whose office, Senator Stevens is not this is. Go ahead.
This is Senator Giesel. I have a staff that lives in Soldotna. Her office is at the Kenai LIO. However, I'm an Anchorage legislator.
Gotcha. Right. Thank you for that clarification,
yeah. Senator. Representative Karen.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. I just wanted to ask Legislative if there's a question about the Fairbanks LIO space. We have approved this lease several times, and we've actually had, from my experience, a pretty solidly increasing over time number of people actually working out of our Fairbanks LIO. And we're kind of busting at the seams at this point. As the Chair mentioned, we do have every single available closet and office and storage space converted into an office space at this point. And it's pretty crowded and pretty utilized, and we have good foot traffic there. I am just curious if there are other potential identified locations for the longer-term future that have been discussed by Ledge Council Legislative Affairs.
Go ahead, Mr. Kessel.
Through the chair, Representative Carrick, no, there is not an identified location or any research that's gone into it at this point because we have not exercised the final renewal period. It is the agency's intent that if this renewal is approved, that we would begin the next phase this fall to determine whether or not a lease extension is practical at that location, or if a new solicitation for office space has to be issued to procure next summer's exit, also expansion of that space.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Any other questions about the Fairbanks lease renewal? Seeing none, I'm going to remove my objection. Ms. Truitt, will you call the roll on the motion to approve the lease renewal for the Fairbanks LIS?
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Schrage.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
So with 10 yeas, the motion to approve the lease extension for its fifth and final renewal period for the Fairbanks LIO has been approved. That brings us to our next business item, MATSU LIO lease extension renewal number 4. Senator Stevens, do we have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 4 of the lease for MATSU office space in an amount of $193,504.44.
And again, I'm going to object for the purposes of discussion and ask Mr. Kestel from Legislative Affairs to provide us a brief overview of the site.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. The next memo in your packet is to address lease renewal number 4 for the MATSU LIO. This would renew for a one-year period of August 1st through July 31st, 2026, by the committee, and it'll end 1 year period remaining before the agency must issue. This lease does exceed $50,000 annually, so therefore the committee's need.
Are there any questions? All right, I do not see any questions on that MATSU LIO lease renewal. I'm going to remove my objection and ask Ms. Truitt to call the roll.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Schrage.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
So with 10 yeas and 0 nays, the MATSU LIO lease extension renewal number 4 has been approved. That brings us to the Legislative Legal Services Office of Victims' Rights Westlaw Contract Amendment. Senator Stevens, do you have a motion for us?
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council adopt Amendment Number 1 of the agency's contract for online legal research services from West, a Thomson Reuters business, to increase the number of access accounts by 4 and increase the contract amount by $15,826.13 to a total of $242,321.75.
Again, I'm going to object for the purposes of discussion and ask Mr. Kestel of Legislative Affairs Procurement Office to provide us information on the item and take questions. We also have with us Megan Wallace from our Legislative Legal Department and Angela Garay of the Office of Victims' Rights and Megan, Emily Nauman available to answer questions about anything to do with the legislative legal contract expansion to include the Office of Victims' Rights. Mr. Kestel.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. Committee, your next memo covers the amendment request. Typically, when I come before you, committee, I ask to spend money, and this one is to save money. So this is a simple amendment to allow OVR to be added to the Legislative Legal Services contract with West to allow OVR's attorneys online access for legal research services. The agency and OVR conducted a few quotes initially, and that quote process was quite expensive for OVR to be on their own contract with West. By amending this contract, it brought the economics to scale, so to say, and add them to the legal department's contract, the total savings of just north of $21,000, meaning 2 years. And with your approval, we will get that corrected, that will be our added for their process. I can answer questions.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Kestel, this makes perfect sense. I have an adjacent question, and it's prompted by a line in the memo that wasn't crystal clear on. Legislative officers can have either a Westlaw or LexisNexis log, and I think it's those of us on judiciary. Is that a separate contract? Is that a legal contract that it goes to?
That, I believe, is a separate contract. It's judiciary committees might have access to, because I am not aware of that or how that operates. This one is specifically just for
follow-up.
Again, not on this one, but if we have the opportunity, whether there may be additional savings by rolling that in future date, I would appreciate it. No issues with this contract amendment, I suppose.
Make a note of that. Look internally and see what we can do.
And since we did have her come all the way here, I do want to acknowledge that Skiray, who is the executive director at the Office of Victim Rights, is with us. I don't know if you wanted to speak to the committee or just want us to get your renewal done.
I can get the renewal done. If there are any questions, go broad or update for sure for OVR. We might get those up, and I'm happy.
See nobody trying to get my attention in the room or online. So I'm going to remove my objection and ask Ms. Truitt to call the roll on the motion for the Westlaw contract amendment.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Schrog.
Yes.
Representative Stoops.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
So with 10 yeas and 0 nays, the Legislative Legal Services contract to with Westlaw is amended to include the Office of Victims' Rights. That brings us to DarkTrace cybersecurity software rule. Senator Stevens. Oh, excuse me.
Madam Chair, I have one before that. Renewal number 2
Senator
Microsoft
Stevens.
Enterprise Software Agreement. Are we skipping that? That's 4D.
Senator Stevens, I've made a mistake and I jumped ahead, so let me go back to item D. The FY26 Microsoft Enterprise Software Agreement, renewal number 2. Do you have a motion for us on that?
Well, your first mistake ever, Madam Chair, but I move that Legislative Council approve the expenditure of $313,077 for the second of 5 annual installments to Software House International, SHI, that licenses the legislature to use Microsoft software.
And I will object for purposes of discussion and ask Legislative Affairs Chief Information Officer Shay Wilson to the table to provide us information on the item and take questions. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Legislative Council. For the record, my name is Shay Wilson, Chief Information Officer, Legislative Affairs Agency. You each have in your packet a memo regarding the Microsoft Enterprise Agreement. In 2024, Legislative Council authorized DTI to enter a 5-year contract with Microsoft with annual payments. This is the second annual payment to this Microsoft. The software we license from Microsoft covers a wide range of applications that we use daily, from the operating system that powers your computer to the office applications like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Polybooth, to the email applications and storage. Microsoft also provides collaboration software, Teams, and SharePoint. It also includes software that runs all of our servers, including our web server that runs Basis, file system storage, and databases that are required to store and track the bill process. The contract was negotiated in conjunction with executive and judicial branches and utilized software reseller Software House International, SHI, to secure the lowest pricing on possible software. The total price for this year of the enterprise agreement is $313,077. To be paid out of operating funds. Thank you for your consideration. I'm happy to answer questions.
See no questions here at the table. Is there anyone online with questions on this? All right. I believe that we all understand the importance of keeping our computers working, so I'm going to remove my objection and ask Ms. Truitt to call the roll on the motion.
Representative Garrett.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Schrage.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Thiel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stephen.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
It's 10 yeas and 0 nays. We have approved the motion for the FY26 Microsoft Enterprise Software Agreement. That will bring us to the next item on the DarkTrace cybersecurity software renewal. Senator Stevens.
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council approve the expenditure of $67,404 to Software House International, SHI, to license the legislature to continue to use DarkTrace.
And I'm going to object. This is the discussion and ask Mr. Wilson, the Legislative Affairs Chief Information Officer, to provide us information on the item.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, my name is Shay Wilson, Chief Information Officer of the Legislative Affairs Agency. Have in your packet a memo regarding the DarkTrace renewal. The Division of Technology and Information utilizes several cybersecurity tools to help protect the legislature. DarkTrace is one of those these tools. NARTRACE learns the normal work habits of each individual user in the legislative network. The software then listens to the network traffic and compares it to a normal work profile. If activities are out of line with normal behavior, it alerts DTI cybersecurity personnel to research and respond to these activities. We have been using this software for 3 years. Previously, it has been below the procurement threshold for legislative council approval. Without this purchase, DTI would lose valuable visibility into the activities on the legislative cost to renew our trace at $67,400.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wilson, I have some questions about what information this software monitors, what it gathers. When we say that it learns how each user uses the network, what are we talking about exactly?
Yes, that's a great question, Senator Keel, through the chair. This device sits on our network, and it watches how you interact with other devices. I say each user, but it's actually looking at the machines. And it looks to see if you're going to file servers and moving files in a way you don't normally do, or remoting into servers that you don't normally access, just touching computers that you normally reach out to. When I say you, I mean your computer, but it watches the computers. It will watch some web traffic. It doesn't have decryption technology, so it's just looking at things that are available for people. That answer your question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. It's a helpful start. I appreciate it. But what are the outer bounds? You think your last sentence got a little bit more technical than my technology, but I guess all of us interact with different constituents and groups, and so I certainly have a machine on my desk in my office. One here, I have one in my pocket to travel. What are the outer bounds of what this technology can see?
The technology can see things that are openly visible on. It is just another device on the network. It's specifically listening to what other people. It's similar to a good analogy would be someone standing on a street of a intersection, watching things go by, and maybe it sees you go to one grocery store that you don't normally go to, and so that's a new behavior. And if there was some reason to worry about that, it would alert security from my team. I hope I'm not when you said I get overly technical. I never want to talk over people's heads, so let me know.
Go ahead.
I appreciate that, and I'm perhaps less savvy than most of the folks you talk to, so I appreciate you getting it plain English. So I guess there are then two sets of questions. One would be, I don't necessarily understand, can it read my email? Can it see that I am downloading files through a VPN? And can it see that I'm using a server from some interest group in whose office I'm sitting, their Wi-Fi? And how do we know how much of it see?
That's a great question, Senator Keel, through the chair. It is not a privileged user on our network. It cannot read your email. It can see that you're going to the file server, and it can see how much you're going to the file server and how much traffic you're moving from the file server. You can't read into files. If you're through a VPN, it can't see into that VPN connection. That's something about a Wi-Fi that I didn't quite understand. It shouldn't. It only sees traffic in the legislative. So traffic on a Wi-Fi would not be visible to. I hope that makes clear what the answers to your question.
Thank you. If this is helping,
yeah.
And I just need an education, so I appreciate the education. Can it see if my device is logging in from Moscow? And would that be a trigger?
Through the chair. Yes, that's exactly the sort of thing it's looking for, is traffic from and to campuses.
So then the next question, line of question would be, this is a piece of private software. We didn't develop this in-house. The company is owned by a British private equity firm. What guarantees do we have about where this information goes next?
Great question, Senator Gill. Through the chair, the Darktrace is sold in two formats. It can be cloud hosted, where they have the server, or it can be hosted on premises, where all the data is kept on a device that we have physical possession of. All processing is done on that device, and all the alerts come out on a device where data is not exfiltrated out of the legislature.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch. Which are we using, on-prem or cloud?
I'm sorry, I may not have said. We're using on-premises. So all the data is stored in site.
And then is there a true-up process where the company that's providing us this software periodically can have a look at it?
Through the chair, I'm not totally certain I'll have a satisfactory answer to that, but the company that's providing it doesn't have access in unless we get access in. They send us software updates to improve the processing power of the data analysis it's doing on that data. It's not sent our data any.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to the far end, Senator Elvie Gray Jackson, and then Senator Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Presentation. So we all get emails with links. So does this cybersecurity prevent us from launching a link that may be a threat?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, we have several pieces of cybersecurity that help with that. This is not likely to prevent. It may alert my cybersecurity team to follow up if that does happen. We have a proof point that reviews all of our email filters, and also have a tool that the Budget Council has approved, Palo Alto, that uses that traffic to prevent that sort of its malicious.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Stutes?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To follow up on Senator Keel's question, so the company doesn't have access to the legislative information. How do you know? How are you notified if there's a problem?
Through the chair, we're notified by email, by text message from the device that we physically have. It emails my cybersecurity team. And text them at all hours.
And I will note, it is in the memo, we've been using this for 3 years, correct? Has our technology subcommittee met with the cybersecurity team from your office and talked about it, the importance of it, or is there anything from those discussions?
We've talked about it in IT subcommittee. It was procured after the there were several cybersecurity incidents in the news, and we followed recommendations towards using that to help remediate issues that they were seeing, and that's how we ended up with it. We haven't discussed it with IT, so probably should.
Okay. do that. But your team has been satisfied with its performance over the last 3 years in helping us remain secure.
Yeah. My team is very happy with the visibility it gives us and the notices it gives us. We see a lot more, are aware of a lot that we wouldn't.
Any further questions? And then I'm going to move my objection. Senator Keel, you have some additional discussion?
Madam Chair, I still have butterflies in my tummy, but I don't have further questions.
I'm going to remove my objection and ask Ms. Truitt to call the roll on the motion.
Representative Garrett.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Schrage.
Yes.
Representative Stoops.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
With 10 yeas and 0 nays, the motion to approve the Darktrace cybersecurity software has been approved. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Are there any other questions or concerns? I see no one seeking my attention, so with nothing further to come before the council, we are adjourned at 1:43 p.m.